supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
By his name, we start. Salamun alaikum and salam to the month of Allah, the month of Quran.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be.
Ramadan, On Thursday, we are here from IRIB English Radio. Today's a special. Today's 3rd of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we'll listen to chapter Vaqa, chapter 56 of the Holy Quran, verses 77 to 79.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innahu laqur'anun kareem.
Indeed, it is a noble Quran.
Fi kitabin maknoon.
In a register well protected.
لا يمسه إلا المطهرون.
None touch it except the purified.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
The attribute Karim employed for the glorious Quran refers to Allah Almighty, the most glorious and the most benevolent, and the same attribute also designates a human virtue. The Arabic world also reflects the great merits of the Holy Quran and its eloquence and rhetorical figure as well as its interesting content. Since it is revealed by the Lord, who is the origin of perfection and beauty, Allah Almighty is the origin of revelation as well as goal of the Holy Quran. The point is that the divine omniscience is free from any error or alteration, and it is evident that such book originating from such sublime source, whose original vision is in the well-preserved tablet, is far from any error and alteration.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Dua for the 3rd day of Ramadan in this part.
Allahumma arzuqni fihi dhihna wa tsanbihi wa ba'idni fihi min as-safahati wa tsanbihi وَاجْعَلْ لِي نَصِيبًا مِنْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ تُنْزِلُ فِيهِ بِجُودِكَ يَا أَجْوَدَ الْأَجْوَدِينَ.
O Lord, grant me in it intelligence and attentiveness, distance me in it from nonsense and concealment. Allot for me a portion of everything good which you send down in it with your generosity, O most generous one.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Warta darbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكراً يا
Ramadan is the month of Quran. One of the reasons Ramadan is for special for Muslims around the world is because it is the month in which Allah began to reveal the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. Allah says in the Holy Quran itself, in chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 185, the month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was revealed as guidance for mankind, and as clear signs that show the right way and distinguish between right and wrong. Again, that was verse 185 of second chapter of the Holy Quran. The recitation of the Quran is greatly emphasized in this month, the month of Ramadan. Many Muslims try to recite it as much as possible, as well as listen to it during the night. There is something very special about the Quran. It has a uniqueness and beauty that has a great effect on and moves the heart. Many accepted Islam after hearing the words of the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Today we are going to talk about the holy month of Ramadan and the month of companionship with Al-Quran. How can we be a good companion with the Holy Quran? The month of Ramadan, which is the month of the revelation of Quran, has a strong connection with the Quran. To show this connection, we will briefly examine a few verses from the Holy Quran. In verse 183 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states the ruling and obligation of fasting, and to emphasize its importance, he mentions the universality of fasting, saying, "This ruling is not specific to you Muslims, and was also obligatory upon the previous nations." At the end, he recognizes the result of fasting as divine piety and spiritual development. Then in the next verse, verse 184, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exempts three groups from this ruling. First, the sick. Second, travelers. And third, the elderly. The first two groups must make up for the missed fast after regaining health and completing their journey. Respectively, however, the third group is only obligated to pay the fasting expiation, which is 750 grams of wheat or a similar amount. Additionally, physical inability exempts young girls who have just reached the age of religious obligation from the obligation of fasting. Considering this can solve the issue of making fasting obligatory for girls who have reached puberty, as reaching the age of puberty, not just 9 years, is one of the conditions of religious obligation, and physical ability is another condition. Therefore, fasting is not obligatory for weak and incapable adolescent girls. Following the above verse, verse 185 of Surah Al-Baqarah declares Ramadan as the month of fasting, and in describing the importance of this month, it introduces Ramadan as the month of the revelation of the Holy Quran, saying, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was revealed as guidance for mankind and clear proofs of guidance and the criterion.
شهر رمضان الذي
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد.
What makes the Quran so profound? So what is it about the Quran that has such a profound effect on human beings and even the rest of the creation? There are many answers to this question. For one, the Quran is the direct word of Allah. There was no person who wrote this or was inspired to write this. It was revealed to mankind directly from Allah. The Quran is also meant to be recited, not read silently. There is a rhythm to the words, a pattern, and oftentimes a rhyme that you can hear whether or not you understand the Arabic language. There are many videos of people reacting to hearing the Quran for the first time, and even though the listener does not understand the meaning of the words, they still recognize the recitation as something beautiful and moving.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا أنت العظيم يا فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
Salam to the spring of the Holy Quran, the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan has been aptly named the spring of the Quran. During this month, believers set aside more time than usual to understand the world of Allah, to learn to ponder over its verses. Muslim homes and mosques ring with the beautiful recitation of this glorious book. It is the season of Quran reciting when the desire to learn and understand the word of Allah blooms and flourishes, just as the natural would blossoms in the spring. The Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, "Everything has a springtime, and the springtime of the Quran is the month of Ramadan."
Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. That's true, brothers and sisters. It was revealed as the means of guidance for humanity, for human beings, and for guidance and distinguishing the truth from the falsehood. From this noble verse, it is understood that the most important features of the month of Ramadan is the revelation of the Holy Quran, which was revealed to the heart of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of Qadr. Ramadan is the month of worship, self-building, abandoning sins and obeying commands. For the realization of this important matter, both teaching and training are necessary. The Quran teaches man and fasting trains him. It is only through these two that reaching perfection is possible. In reality, the Quran without the obligation of fasting is incomplete teaching without development, and Ramadan and fasting without the Quran is training without knowledge and awareness. Therefore, a Muslim must revive Ramadan by fasting and train himself, and also be guided by being close to the Holy Quran and becoming familiar with it. Because the Quran is both guidance, clear proofs, and the criterion, hudan linnas, wabayyinat min al-huda wal-furqan. Such a Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan, and fasting was also made obligatory in this month. For this reason, special attention should be paid to these two divine gifts. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for staying tuned and listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Please keep us in your dua and supplication. Have a nice time, and we leave you in Allah's protection.
Subhanaka Rabbi, Subhanak, Subhanaka ma a'zama shanak, nad'uka wa narju ghufranak, nad'uka wa narju غفرانك ربي.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. How about listening to a wise statement on fasting from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The easiest duty enjoined by Allah on a fasting person is to forgo food and drink. Pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We are through days of Ramadan, and we're all Mu'mineen are fasting, all Muslimin are fasting, and fasting is one of the great ibadah, great worship. As we all know, everyone who want to follow the path of God, he has to offer certain worships to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a beautiful thing in Islam, and that is, beside those mentioned already mentioned worships, you can turn your entire deeds, your entire actions in worship. And this is the most beautiful thing in Islam. Let me give an example. Today morning, you want to leave your home, you want to go to job for making some money, for doing your business. But when you start your day with saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, O Allah, I am going to do this for the sake of you, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my job, my business, but your job and business and everything, in some way you relate your job, you relate your business to Almighty God, then the whole day is going to turn into ibadah. So you can turn simply every actions of yourself, every deed of yourself, what you're going to commit in the day, you can turn it into ibadah. So there's a beautiful hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَابٌ وَبَابُ الْعِبَادَةِ الصَّوْمِ. For everything, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَابٌ. For everything, there's a door. So you enter in some action, some kind of deed through a door, basically. A door means the opening. The door means here in a sense of the first step, the basic steps when you enter in something. So, لكل شيء باب. There are certain steps you enter in something through your basic steps or initial steps. لكل شيء باب. وباب العبادة الصوم. But first step of entering into the world of worship is fasting. It's a very beautiful thing. So those who want to enter truly in the world of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should initiate their worship through fasting. Fasting is one of the most beautiful worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said in a session, that Allah says, all you do is for you. It's not for me. Except fasting. When you fast, Allah says, fast is for me. So if you fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am going to reward your fast. I will give you reward by myself. I will pay you. I will directly pay you. It isn't a beautiful thing. In a sense, if you want to really connect directly somehow, directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to offer something directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start from fasting. And when you start your worship through fasting, so basically you are trying to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pay attention to you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pay attention directly to you, saying that because nobody can fast for himself or anyone else. Fast is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah said. So when you're fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, okay, this is for me and I will reward you. So in a sense, when you want to enter in the world of worship, it's better you always start your worship through fasting. Fasting can be the very basic and starting level of entering into the world of worship for you, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq to start our worships with fasting. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really, really glad to have Brother Hussein Akbari and Fawad Haider with me today in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, Fawad Haider.
Salam, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. I'm good. How about you?
I'm good, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Salam, Hussein. How are you?
Salam alaikum. I'm fine.
Fine? All right.
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So everyone is fine here. So brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, thank you so much for joining. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 47, Surah Al-A'raf, at the same page we had our previous session. What page?
156.
So, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, as you're listening, turn to page 156 of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 47. Let's listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وإذا صرفت أبصارهم تلقاء أصحاب النار قالوا ربنا لا تجعلنا مع القوم الظالمين.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا صرفت أبصارهم تلقاء أصحاب النار قالوا ربنا لا تجعلنا مع القوم الظالمين. And when their look is turned toward the inmates, the inhabitants of the fire, they will say, Our Lord, do not put us among the wrongdoing lot.
So why? Are they afraid of being together or they just hate them?
Mm-hmm. Nice question. Let's talk about it. Good question. So, look, in the previous session, we said that Allah Almighty says in Ayah 46, وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ. A'raf are those places, high places, okay, like small mountain, hill.
Yes.
That some people will be standing there, and these people could be like the imams, okay, or the awliyaullah, or sometimes people, okay, who have like equal sins and equal good deeds, okay, they will be there. So, these people, يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ, that they know everyone, okay, from their faces, okay? Everyone, these A'raf are like those places between heaven and hellfire. All right? Yes. As if you are on the border. Here you have hellfire, there you have heaven.
Yes.
They will be standing there, they will be looking at the people and trying to enter the heaven or
Hellfire.
Okay. Now, these people look at the people of the heaven, those who are allowed to enter heaven. They will say in the previous ayah, وَنَادَوْا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. They will say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Very good. Good for you. Lucky you entering the heaven. And here suddenly, وَإِذَا صُرِفَتْ. It's a passive word. It's not active voice, passive voice, according to grammar.
Yes.
It says, their look will be turned towards the Ashab al-Nar. It means they are looking at the Ashab al-Jannah. Once suddenly, their face will be turned towards the people of hellfire. Look at them. Okay? Then, when they see that, oh God, they are so regretful, they are so grieving, so sad, so crying, so... One of the name of Day of Judgment is Yawm al-Tanad.
The Day of Regret?
No, the day that people will be screaming. Okay? Screaming. And they will be shouting, screaming, okay? They are having punishments, receiving their punishment, okay?
Yes.
Then this A'raf, Ashab al-A'raf, they will be saying that. وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا When they see them. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا They will say, Oh, our Lord... Okay, do not include us. لا تجعلنا, do not put us among the wrongdoers.
Sure, so question. In the previous verse, we said that the people on these hills could be imams, ma'sumin, or either those in between.
Yeah.
So based on this ayah, I take a guess that they are not imams because they would be already in heaven, right? And because mm-hmm. these on the border, they mm-hmm. look to both the people in hell and both in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
First, they look at the people in the heaven and see how joyous and full yeah. of fun they are.
Yeah.
But when they look at the hellfire, they suddenly like feel a shock. I don't want to be with these. God, please do not. So, is it correct? What's your idea?
Look, in the previous ayat, it says, "Lam yadkhuluha." This could be about the people of the paradise or the people of the Araf themselves, okay? Will not have entered the Jannah yet, though they would be eager to do so. Look, it does not... If you are allowed to enter Jannah and you are still asking Allah Almighty, oh Allah Almighty, do not include us or do not put us among the wrongdoers, it does not mean that you are about to be among them. You're just making dua to have this protection forever. Okay? Mm. This could be us, the imams. Imams are those who are allowing also the people to enter Jannah. Inshallah, in riwayat, in a hadith, you will learn this, okay? There is a broad topic about it, so beautiful, about who enters first Jannah and who is allowed to enter Jannah. Some of the imams will come and do their shafa'ah as well. Okay, imams and ma'sumin alayhi salam. So based on this, there is still an argument, okay, how we can get a final understanding from this ayah.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
So time is being late, okay? We have to move on to tajweed rules. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, if you had any questions, you can refer to the tafasir books, learn more about them. There are a beautiful explanation about this. So, لا تجعلنا مع القوم الظالمين. Time for Hussein to recite it beautifully, and we'll practice it together. Hussein, could you please?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا صرفت أبصارهم تلقاء أصحاب النار قالوا ربنا لا تجعلنا مع القوم الظالمين.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. وإذا صرفت أبصارهم. One important rule here, and that's
قلقلة.
قلقلة أبصارهم. Yes.
Yes.
أبصارهم. Echo the sound of the letter ba, which is stuck in there. تلقاء. The mud. Is it wajib or jais?
Yeah, it's wajib.
Wajib to extend. تلقاء. So, أصحاب النار قالوا ربنا لا تجعلنا.
Again,
echoing sound. مع القوم الظالمين. Extend the sound at the end. Alright?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's all very easy ayah to recite. I will recite it once. So Hussein and Fawad will be repeating, brothers and sisters, listeners. Inshallah, repeat with us.
Sir, you should recite beautifully or correctly?
Correctly and beautifully.
Oh, correct.
Yes. That's why we learn the Tajweed rules.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Tajweed, we are beautifying the
and
recitation.
And also reading it correctly.
Yeah.
Recite
of course.
It correctly.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وَإِذَا صُرِفَتْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ تِلْقَاءَ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَالُوا
وَإِذَا صُرِفَتْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ تِلْقَاءَ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَالُوا
قالوا ربنا لا تجعلنا مع القوم الظالمين
قالوا ربنا لا تجعلنا مع القوم الظالمين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
That's all from us for today, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. See you inshallah in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. Fawad and Hussein Akbari, thank you so much for being with us in this session. See you inshallah next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-Tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile...
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi...
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was...
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan...
Mawlavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar... with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly lives of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, personalities, ulama and scholars during the history of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, Assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an outstanding figure of Persia or Iran. He was the main chancellor at the kingdom of Nasiruddin Shah Qajar, Mirza Muhammad Taghi Khan Farahani, mainly known as Amir Kabir. So many reformations, or corrections, better to say, were done during his era of deputyship and ministership. On that time, founding so many mosques and schools, struggling against the Babis on that time, were among the main struggles of this outstanding man, who was killed and assassinated by the order of the king of the time. Before getting to more details of his life, Shaykh Rouhani, give us some information about the early life and biography of Amir Kabir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mirza Muhammad Taghi Khan Farahani, known as Amir Kabir, was born in 1185 in the city called Arak. And in Iran, actually, he died, in 1230 in Kashan, which is another city in Isfahan. And of course, he was buried in the holy shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. He was among the dignified, let's say, Shiite politicians in the history of the Shayyo, who was the chancellor at the time of Shah Nasiruddin Shah Qajar.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much, Shaykh Rouhani. Besides, he came up from a poor family. I mean, they say that he was the son of the cook, you know, of the kingdom of that time. But he studied, and after that, that's why when he got this ministership, he took care a lot about the poor and the orphans of the society. Besides his political life, he was also famous for his religious life. One of them was struggling against deviations and sectarianism during his era, I mean, especially against Ali Muhammad Bab. Who was Ali Muhammad Bab, and what were the struggles of Amir Kabir against him?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, Bab means door or gate.
Yes.
First of all, Ali Muhammad Bab claimed that I'm the gate to Imam Zaman. It means that if you want to reach the teachings of Imam Zaman and the, as we call, Ma'rifah, Ma'rifatul Imam, if you want to reach that level, you have to pass from me. As we have a famous hadith, Al Madinatul Ilm wa Aliyun Babuha, they want to copy this theory that Imam Zaman is Madinatul Ilm and Bab, the door of that Medina, yes, is Muhammad. That was his claim.
Uh-huh.
That first of all, you should come to me,
uh-huh,
and I will give you this access to use from Imam Zaman. So that was a wrong claim, because we don't have this kind of claim in our religious studies to someone claim to be, I'm the Bab and gate of Imam. We don't have this. We just have Vilayat al-Faqih. We just have, yes, Marja'iyya.
Yes.
It is not that Bab. But he didn't stop at that level. After a while, he claimed that I'm a prophet. And after a while, he claimed that I'm a God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means that they didn't want to help religion, and then they, I don't know, face the distortion. No, from the beginning, they wanted to deviate the religion in order to gain what they want, in order to build their future. After a while, Islamic scholars and Shiite scholars, they understood the plan.
Yes.
And they stood against Muhammad Ali Bab. And first of all, he did Tawbah. He said that, yes, I was wrong. I never repeat that. But he repeated a lot, and they escaped from Iran. And after some times, another figure called Hussein Ali Nuri,
yes,
one of his students, he made another sect, mm-hmm, Baha'iyya.
Yes.
They called him Baha'ullah.
Yes.
And he made another sect in Babiya,
yes,
called Baha'iyya.
Yes.
Maybe there are some differences, but yes, generally, mm-hmm, both of them are a distorted and deviated way of religion.
Yes.
And if we study about this sect, we can see that, after all, Nowadays, you cannot see anything from religion among them.
Yes.
Yes, we have a lot of sects in Shia and Sunni. For example, in Sunni, we have Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Shafi'i. Yes. And I don't know, in Shia, we have Zaydi, we have Imami, 12er. But when you study about Baha'iyan, Babiya, you can see that more than being a religious kind of sect, they are a political sect.
That's right.
Not a religious one. And nowadays, their important city is Haifa in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they are making a lot of conspiracy for Iran. If they are real Shia, what they are trying to destroy Iran,
yes,
what they are helping Zionism. You know, at that time, Amir Kabir, with his broad view, could understand that this distortion can and have the potential to destroy Islam.
Yes.
So he tried a lot to stay in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some other scholars like Ayatollah Sayyid Barfurushi, they started that.
In different regions of Iran.
But what is the difference? The difference that Amir Kabir had the power.
Uh-huh.
He had the power.
So in the organized, mobilized way, he tried to, for example, create or establish a kind of establishment against Babism on that time.
And that is why our scholars like Imam Khomeini and our supreme leader, they believe that we should have Islamic government. Because if you don't have the power, you cannot stop these kind of deviation.
That's right.
Amir Kabir, by the help of power, he could stop them. And after the time of Amir Kabir, they couldn't do anything important. They just escaped from Iran and go to other parts like Turkey, like Israel.
Yes.
And nowadays, they are just busy with their conspiracies.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
So many outstanding other works were done by Amir Kabir. One of them was, for example, establishing some schools, or it's better to say technical schools, like, for example, Darul Funun or Polytechnic schools on that time, about agriculture, about somehow establishing a kind of judicial system of the time, vaccination, general public vaccination on that time, respecting the ulama and establishing majalis for the Ahlul Bayt on that time in an organized way, and also boosting the national economy against colonialism on that time were among the most outstanding things that Amir Kabir did on that time. What about other achievements of Amir Kabir, Sheikh Rouhani?
I think one of the important features that could be mentioned here regarding the personality of this great Shiite figure in the history is this, that he was very much dedicated to the jurisprudential as well as legal kind of rulings in the country, and he tried his best to fulfill the Shari'i and also the, let's say, legal kind of rulings in the society to protect the people against any sort of distortion or deviations, particularly from jurisprudential and legal point of view.
Yes.
That's why when the people, for example, referred to the courts, he tried his best to actually to fulfill justice in the courts based on the Sharia laws. I think from religious perspective, this aspect of his life is really important and significant. That's why he tried to appoint the, let's say, just and fair judges in the courts, and in terms of legal kind of affairs of the people, he was very much sensitive and cautious to fulfill justice in the society. That's why in his time people feel more immune and secure as compared to the rest of the times. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the things that he fought against was bribery. He stopped the people doing these kind of illegal and also non-Islamic and religious action. And of course, when it comes to civil kind of morality, yes, he was again very much cautious to tell the people as well as the officials, as well as the, for example, soldiers, let's say military figures, to respect the people, to pay tribute, and also to dignify the people, to secure the ladies and women when they go to the city, to bazaar, to market, to feel immune and safe. That's why he stopped drinking completely and banned, yes, all those places where the people drank.
Yes.
These are some of the really, really great efforts that he made,
yes,
to make a better Islamic society, a better Islamic kind of community in different cities at that time.
That's right. Unfortunately, most of the achievements, of course, somehow made him very much famous in the eyes of the king of the time, Nasser al-Din Shah. You know, so much backbiting and slandering coming into the kingdom court against Amir Kabir by his enemies. It could be either from the political sides or colonialists or Babists on that time. That's why the king decided to exile him into Kashan. And after 2 days in exile in Kashan, he was assassinated, unfortunately, over there in the city of Kashan. First, his body was buried over there in a small cemetery, but then by the order of his wife, Izzatuddawla, his body was taken to the city of Karbala, and he was buried in one of the chambers around the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. That's right. Anything missed, Sheikh Fadai, about Amir Kabir?
There is a misunderstanding, and
yes,
it's better to say an accusation about Amir Kabir.
Yes.
Some people believe that Amir Kabir was not a complete religious person, and he was more westernized person. I mean, the one who is under the impact of Western culture. It is not like that. Mm-hmm. It is just an accusation. Yes, Amir Kabir was familiar with the West and Western studies, and
yes,
he used that,
yes,
in order to improve his country. But yes, he was a complete religious figure.
Yes.
And what is the root for that accusation? Amir Kabir stopped Bast Nishini and Ta'ziyah.
Uh-huh.
What are these two?
Yes, yes.
Bast Nishini was a phenomenon. At that time, when there were some rebels,
yes,
and when there were some rises, and the king, the soldiers of kingdom want to stop them, they escaped and went to, for example, holy shrines and the houses of scholars,
yes,
and stood there. And because of the respect and dignity of that shrine or that house, the soldiers didn't have the permission to arrest them.
Yes.
That was called Bast Nishini.
Uh-huh.
And the other phenomenon was Ta'ziyah.
Yes.
Ta'ziyah, as we have it
yes,
today,
yes, yes, yes,
is a kind of show and play.
Yes, yes. Passion
about,
play.
About some happening, about the event happened in Karbala, usually.
Yes.
You know, Amir Kabir stopped these two phenomena,
yes,
because of the distortion,
uh-huh,
that happened. For
distortion
example,
of religious beliefs.
Yes.
That's
for
right.
example, in Bast Nishini, there were a lot of rebels at that time.
Yes.
Not good people, not good, not correct rise.
Yes.
They escaped to the holy shrine, like Shah Abdul Azim.
Yes.
And I don't know, some houses.
Yes.
And, you know, after a while, even some political places was used for Bast Nishini.
Yes. Okay.
So because of that, the soldiers of kingdom couldn't catch them.
Uh-huh.
So that was not good.
Okay.
You cannot.
So in order to stop those riots and rebels,
yes,
from taking refuge in religious places, Amir Kabir
stopped them.
Some people believe
that
Amir Kabir
didn't have the respect for ulamas or
okay,
the shrine.
Okay.
It was not
okay.
like that.
It was not like that.
And for Ta'ziyah, you know, in the story of Ta'ziyah, there
yes.
were a lot of superstitions.
Superstitions,
even
right.
now, we
yes,
can
yes.
see that
yes,
a lot
yes.
of superstitious
yes.
beliefs are preached in Ta'ziyah.
Uh-huh.
Amir Kabir tried to stop these superstition and deviation. You know, in order to end the discussion, I want to read a quotation from Ayatollah Makarem. Ayatollah Makarem, after mentioning a lot of services from Amir Kabir, says that we can understand that all the actions of Amir Kabir